Dear friends, welcome to our August meeting for the Sufi Studies Network. It is my pleasure and delight to be the host yet again, and to welcome our guest speaker today, Dr. Vasilis Adratis, whose talk is titled Syncretism and Inter-Religion in Balkan Sufism, the Case of Bektashiya Tariqa. And Vasili will deliver a 30-minute formal talk, which will be recorded and made available later on our website, and a 20-minute unrecorded Q&A for our benefit. Now, just a little bit about Vasili before I hand it over to him and he can deliver his talk. Vasili has taught at St. Andrew's Greek Orthodox Theological College, the University of Sydney, National University of Athens, the Hellenic Open University, Macquarie University, the University of New South Wales, Western Sydney University, and Charles Sturt University. His specialization is in early Christianity, patristic studies, Byzantine philosophy, ancient Greek religion and myth, Islamic studies, and indigenous Australian religions. Apart from a substantial number of articles in academic journals, numerous chapters and collected volumes, he has authored and edited more than 10 books. His most recent publication is Islam, Civility and Political Culture, which I had the pleasure of co-editing with him. So my dear friend and colleague, Vasilis, welcome and thank you for being here today. Over to you.
Thank you, Milad. Good morning, good evening to everyone. I would like to, of course, thank formally Aydoğan and Milad for including my talk in this year's program. It was something that I really wanted some time now, and it's materializing eventually. I will start straight ahead so we don't lose any time, you know. The topic, as you can see from the program, is, and as Milad said, syncretism and interreligion in Balkan Sufism, the case of Bektashiya Tariqa. Now, basically, it's a case study. It's a case study in which I'm trying to combine two of my interests. Of course, the interest in the Bektashiya Tariqa, but also a more general studies in religion interest in the phenomena of syncretism and interreligion. So I'm specializing sort of this broader interest of mine in the case study of the Bektashi. My presentation will follow a certain structure, of course, in order to stay within the limits of time. In particular, I have divided the presentation into the following six sections. One, the introduction, which includes some notes on my personal involvement in the study of Bektashism, so that you may have a picture of where I'm coming from. Two, some terminological clarifications, which I deem absolutely necessary in order to understand my approach. Three, a broad but concise description of the Bektashiya Tariqa for the purpose of creating a sort of historical and phenomenological backdrop. Four, a focused exploration and appreciation of Bektashiya syncretism. Five, an equally focused exploration and appreciation of Bektashiya interreligion. And finally, six, a conclusion where I attempt to put forward some preliminary hermeneutic remarks pertaining to Bektashism, to Sufism more broadly, but also to Islam more generally. Introduction. I will limit myself to seven items of my track record, just to give you a good picture of where I'm coming from with regards to the topic. All of them come from the period 2000-2010. My first exposure to the Bektashis was as an editor of a journal article on Albanian Bektashism, and more specifically on how the history of this Sufi tariqa virtually fashioned the modern national consciousness of Albanians. After that, I presented two conference papers on the Bektashi Tariqa as a case study of multiculture, the first one, and with regards to the ethnic national identity in the Balkans, and how this can have a bearing on international relations, the second paper. More generally, in 2003, I presented a consultation report at the National Council of Churches in Australia, which was turned into an article during the same year under the title On the Principles of a Possible Christian-Islamic Dialogue, an Orthodox Perspective. Also, this dialogue topic was much more extensively treated in a textbook chapter used at the postgraduate program of studies in Orthodoxy at the Hellenic Open University entitled Epistemological Prerequisites Regarding the Encounter Between Orthodoxy and Islam in 2008. Finally, at the most general level, with regards to the topic of this presentation, I should mention my work on syncretism, in particular my article towards a reconceptualization of syncretism, a hermeneutic approach to interreligious contact, and my PhD thesis at Sydney Uni, Prophecy Dreaming's Hermeneutic Approach to Some Instances of Indigenous Syncretism in Colonial and Postcolonial Australia. Thus, in light of the above, it is quite clear that theoretically and methodologically, I will be speaking from a studies in religion perspective, and for that matter, one that is basically a history of religions and a phenomenology of religions approach. Nevertheless, I should point out that in my work, there has always been implicitly or explicitly a theological interest as well. Terminological clarifications. The very term Balkan Sufism in the title of my presentation comes from the Orientalist Alexander Popovich and his work, Balkan Islam, Muslims of Southeast Europe during the post-Ottoman period, which was originally published in 1986. Now, the first meaning of the term is about a geographical circumscription. Bektashism originated in Anatolia, but it flourished in the Balkans. Most likely its appearance in the Balkans goes back to the very early 15th century, but this is conveyed only through tradition. If we are to base ourselves on verifiable evidence, then it has to be considered that the Tariqa has been in the region since the 17th century. At the same time, from a certain period in its history, I would have to say that the Bektashiga Tariqa is Balkan beyond the Balkan. So to say, for it has been transplanted through the American diaspora in the USA since 1954 and in Australia probably before World War II. So it's Balkan to the extent that it came to be located there predominantly in the 17th century or exclusively after 1924-1925 or in imagined terms as far as the global Bektashiya community is concerned. And of course, I'm using imagined terms in the sense of Benedict Adenson's imagined communities. Now, the second meaning of the term is about a cultural formation. For Albanians, Bektashism has played a pivotal role in their enlightenment, and by extension, their national emancipation and patriotism. At the same time, it served the objective of literacy and the linguistic distinctiveness of their nation. And finally, to a great extent, it has been identified with their struggle and cause for social justice. For Muslim Pomaks, a distinct ethno-linguistic group, and the Roma, both in Greece and Bulgaria, being a Bektashi has come to be about opting for a type of Islam more sensitive to their cultural traits, as well as providing an ideological platform of differentiation over against Turkish identification. So in this respect, the Bektashiga Tariqa is Balkan to the extent that it has become intrinsically involved in the modern history making of certain peoples in the region. Now, regarding syncretism, firstly, one should keep in mind the following four aspects of the term as a studies in religion category, plus the fact that it's virtually synonymous with hybridization, creolization, pidginization, amalgamation, and interculturalization, as these being terms, all these being terms used mostly in the social sciences. Now, the aspects mentioned above are the following. Syncretism comprises a spectrum of theoretical and practical meanings, and thus constitutes a highly comprehensive field. And we will see this comprehensiveness in the case of the Bektashiga Tariqa. On the basis of the evidence provided by the history of religions, and precisely because of the need for a genealogical theory and phenomenological typology in regard to interreligious dynamics, there seems to be nothing in principle or in fact that prevents us from utilizing syncretism as a relevant frame of reference, as I will be doing. Syncretism is a fundamental methodological tool in understanding a number of cardinal features of interreligious contact and religious change. And fourth, syncretism is in principle non-evaluative. Secondly, one should also keep in mind that syncretism is the result of interreligious change. That is, it requires the encounter of at least two different religious realities. Two, it can become part of religious change. That is, syncretism may play a role in the ongoing development of a certain religious tradition. And three, it can result in a new religion. That is, syncretism may open up a religious tradition into something different. And as we will see in the case of Bektashiga Tariqa, this is mostly the case, a new religion. Thirdly, syncretism should be understood as both as dialectics, by which I refer to the primarily chaotic potentiality of religion, and as dialogue or dispute, by which I refer to the secondarily ordered actuality of religion, either positive or negative. And lastly, I employ syncretism within the parameters of the following fourfold typology. We have competitive syncretism, when we have the total rejection of the other in order to monopolize its claims. This type is the less conspicuously syncretistic. We have borrowing syncretism, which is about the partial acceptance, rejection of the other in order to enhance one's own claims. Combining syncretism, the total acceptance of the other in order to substitute for its claims. Both these types, borrowing and combining, are the most commonly witnessed types. And lastly, we have the type of integral syncretism, which is about the partial rejection, acceptance of the other, in order to negotiate its claims. And here, I think, is where we should locate Bektashiga Tariqa, but I will explain that. Now, by the term interreligion, I refer to a religious reality that is based on the fundamental fact that religions are open and constantly interactive systems. Moreover, the term signifies an individualized or collective realization of the relation between two or more religions, always, of course, on the basis of specific terms and limitations. This aspect is very, very important, as we will see below with regards to the Bektashiga Tariqa. There's always terms and limitations for this openness, let's call it that for the time being. Furthermore, interreligion constitutes an autonomous yet not independent religious function, a kind of religiosity in the interstices. And last but not least, the term denotes a hierophantic experience of transaction between different religions, a sui generis symbiosis that serves dialogue or is supposed to serve dialogue. Bektashiga Tariqa, a description. The Bektashis go back to the charismatic figure, of course, of Haji Bektash Veli, 1209 to 1271, who belonged to the spiritual environment of the Kalandariya and was in particular influenced by the teachings of Hoja Ahmed Yasawi, 1093-1166. His activity has to be understood within the context of the Turkmen Babas during the period of the Mongol invasion. Haji Bektash Veli represents the rudimentary organization of the Tariqa, and its close relation to the Janissaries. Regarding the specific topic I'm exploring, it's indicative that Anatolian Christians had developed a cult of him by identifying him with Saint Haralambos, a saint very much, you know, associated with healing miracles. Balim Sultan, 1516, is the second most charismatic figure of the Tariqa and the one who codified it into a full-blown organization. His mother was a Christian, and he was struggling to sustain the Tariqa both against the Sunni establishment and the emerging Shia. This is what led him to turn from Anatolia to the Balkan Christians. It is noteworthy that he introduced celibacy for the proper Tariqa members, something that caused tensions between the older married and the new celibate, or alternatively, the Turkish and the Albanian sectors of the Tariqa. There's also a third period in the development of the Bektashis leading to the emergence of Alevism from within the ranks of the Tariqa. By some, this development is regarded as a further appropriation of Christian elements, or even by a few as a kind of crypto-Christianity. But this is a totally different topic and I won't be entering it today. The Bektashiga Tariqa started as a type of ritualistic Sufism from 1200s onwards. So in this sense, it belongs to the third period of Sufism, which has to be understood as a charismatic response to the overall crisis caused by the disruption of the Mongol invasion. Then it took on the contours of Neo-Sufism. That's the fourth phase of Sufism from the 1600s onwards, which was the basic means for the formation of ethnic identity and emancipation in the wake of the gradual disintegration of the Ottoman Empire and the rise of European colonial powers. Finally, the Tariqa nowadays follows more or less in the steps of modern Sufism, the last phase of Sufism, of course, by adhering and promoting the culture and ethos of multiculturalism. It stands out as a peculiar type of Sufism with a strong Shiite flavor. Its guiding belief is the motto, whoever knows themselves knows God as well. Other peculiar beliefs are the teachings that Muhammad and Ali are two sides of the same coin, or better, of the same soul, or the same body. Also, their Trinitarian doctrine of Allah, Muhammad, and Ali encapsulated in the catchphrase, with the passion of the three. There's also their four fundamental principles, namely Sharia, Tariqa, Ma'rifa, Hakika, as well as their belief in the unity of existence. The latter, of course, or the two last ones, of course, known from a general Sufi perspective as well. As for the practices, one should mention the prayer of dissociating oneself from disbelievers on the one hand and associating oneself to believers on the other. Quite conspicuous is also the cult of the 12 Imams in many forms. As to Bektashi's sacred space, they have special worship places called teke, something like monasteries, mescidi, places of pilgrimage, and Zaviyesi, which is the hermitage. As to the sense of sacred time, they have a very sophisticated and complicated feast calendar where Ashura holds perhaps the most prominent place. The ranks of the members are divided into senior and junior. The former includes the Dede, the Caliphs, and the Babas, whereas the latter includes Dervishes, Muhibs, and Talibs. And of course, there's also the Ashiks. The proper members have special vestments and paraphernalia, very reminiscent of those that we see in the case of Orthodox Christian monks. Bektashiya syncretism. The Bektashi Sufi order has been affected by the complex religious history of the Turkmen clans in Anatolia. By the 13th century, it had already accommodated elements from Turkish shamanism, Buddhism, Zoroastrianism, Mandeanism, Manichaeism, Judaism, and Eastern Christianity. This is how comprehensive Bektashi syncretism is. However, its differentia specifica in this connection is the fact that the Bektashi is appropriated a great deal of the morphology of the Eastern Orthodox Church. In light of such a history, the Bektashi Tariqa is undoubtedly a syncretic religion, but as such, it should not be seen as a non-Islamic one. Instead, it should be seen as an enrichment in the history of Islamic forms of belief and practice. It also belongs to the cases of crucial importance regarding the Christian-Islamic dialogue. And this because it hasn't been about borrowing or combining, much less about competing, but about something quite integral between the two religions. More broadly, one could say that historically speaking, Bektashism was, on the one hand, the catalyst that facilitated the expansion of Islam in the Balkans, and on the other hand, the factor that made life more bearable for Eastern Orthodox communities. In this respect, it has not been devoid of dispute or even clash with the pre-existing or dominant religious capital in the Balkans region, but this hasn't been its intentionality as a religious phenomenon. To put it in different terms, it has been the best option for Islamization. Now, from a phenomenological point of view, theology, worship, ethics, customs, all of them unite and at the same time divide Bektashis and Eastern Orthodox Christians. To give just some examples of this similarity, dissimilarity, interface, the following will suffice. First, of course, the trinity of Allah, Muhammad, and Ali. Then the 12 imams who are compared to the 12 apostles. The ikrar ritual. Ikrar is judicial or otherwise acknowledgement, a sort of confession. Now, and this ikrar ritual, in the case of the Bektashi, has a baptismal flavor, and of course it's related or associated with baptism. We have the ritual use of bread and wine, the gem ritual, which is an unction style ritual, the confession to babas, that's the confession of sins, the honoring of Prophet Elijah and Prophet George, sorry, Saint George, the Christian style celibacy, the fact that Bektashism is strictly monogamous, excommunication, reincarnation, and the very telling case of the saintly figure of Sari Saltik, 13th century, who is identified by many with Saint George. Bektashiya interreligion. To start with, it could be maintained that this interreligion is an expression and application of the persistent idea that Islam constitutes a philosophia perennis, a spiritual level that underlies all genuine religious expressions, regardless of the cultural, ethnic, or other aspects. Two short poems from the 19th century, Bektashi poems, are very indicative. Love I have for religion, to her I pray and swear allegiance. I bow before humanity and tell the truth. I never go away from her. I choose the world as my home. The cold earth is my mother, and the sky my roof, and brothers and sisters, the whole of humanity. The Bektashis, it has been noted that don't and didn't, basically in the past, stop short from calling a brother the Albanian who believes in a different religion. The very famous Albanian polymath Naim Frashëri, 1846-1900, said that the unity of the people is beyond religious or regional affiliation. And this comes from within the core of Albanian Bektashism. And of course, the once prime minister of Albania, Fan Noli, talked about the dissemination of Bektashism amongst Muslims for the sake of consolidating the national spirit. Now, here we start, of course, seeing a bit of the limits and terms on which this interreligion works and functions. And we come to this much more explicitly. The Bektashis were trying since 1919 to be officially separated from the Sunnis. And this eventually happened in 1945. They attempted to cut their ties with Turkish Bektashis since 1920. And this did happen in 1922. The second Bektashi Congress betrays the enmity. So we're not talking about, you know, a sort of pacifist religion between Bektashis and Sunnis. Ahmed Muftar Dede calls the faithful to promote love for the sake of the power of the people, which speaks about a different term and limitation, which leads us straight ahead to the concept of a political and civil religion. It's for the sake of the people. Now, conclusions towards the phenomenology. Basically, I have three questions and I try to answer them. Of course, tentatively. What does all the above mean with regards to Christian-Islamic relations? What does the above mean with regards to Sufism? And what does it mean with regards to Islam? Now, with regards to Christian-Islamic relations, Bektashism constitutes a typical case of Eastern Orthodox Muslim interreligion. Firstly, because it exemplifies the degree to which this interreligion can be realized. And secondly, because it shows the peculiar forms that it can acquire. With regards to degree, it is extremely unlikely that one can find Muslim life forms that come close to orthodoxy, both theoretically and practically, more than the Bektashiya Tariqa. As for the forms, in no other case did the everyday performance of interreligion between Orthodoxy and Islam become embodied in such a cohesive and distinct religious set of belief and practices as it did in the case of the Bektashis. In a sense, one could claim the Bektashiya interreligion transcended, but without negating or rejecting the very limits of Islam. Now, what does the above mean with regards to Sufism? The Bektashiya Tariqa testifies to the fact that Sufism, more often than not, functioned as a bridge for Islam with regards to other cultures and or religions. More to the point, however, it did so by developing into a distinct religion in itself, thus providing evidence to the claim that Islam is in actuality Islam's. That is, it is not a religion, but a life order that comprises multiple hierophantic phenomena and religions without losing its cohesion. And lastly, with regards to Islam, the Bektashiya Tariqa can be seen as confirming in a very, very peculiar way the Sufi belief, let's call it that way, that tasawuf goes back to the Prophet. Although this cannot be proven, there seems here to be a certain affinity, and for that matter, at the level of interreligion. My rationale here is simple. If Sufism is interreligion, or functions as interreligion, and if Sufism goes really back to the Prophet, this would mean that primitive Islam, when I say primitive, I mean original, the first century of Islam, okay, or the first three generations, was all about, or at least had interreligion as a prominent aspect. But is this the case? Was primitive Islam all about interreligion, or did it have interreligion as a very prominent function? I believe that the evidence that we have now historically about what exactly happened with the Prophet and his companions in the first perhaps two or even three generations corroborates and fits the evidence that basically we did have an intentionality of creating a religious space in between Judaism, Christianity, and other types of religiosity in the Arabian Peninsula, a space which is Islam proper as an interreligion, negotiating and bringing all of these together. In this sense, I do think that Sufi phenomena, such as Bektashiya Tariqa, in a way retained, saved, and perpetuated this throughout the ensuing centuries. Thank you.